Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I'm very happy to introduce as our castaway this week one of the great actresses of our day, Dame Edith Evans. Dame Edith, have you ever daydreamed about being a Robinson Crusoe alone on a desert island?
No, no.
Do you think you could endure loneliness?
I think I should detest it.
How big a part does music play in your life?
Ah, now, musically, I'm very ignorant. But I think I'm, as Sir Thomas Beecham once said, the British public were. They knew nothing about music, but they love listening to beautiful sounds. Well, that's me. I hear music in a lot of things, but it's not conventional music, you see, as such.
Do you play the gramophone very much?
Not a great deal. At home, at the weekend.
Are you choosing records mainly to evoke the past?
Oh, no, no.
No?
No, one or two are, because I think they're magnificent specimens of their kind. No, 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 these are because I like them, and because if I were stuck on a desert island, I think I'd like to listen to them. And they've got people in them and lovely sounds. And no, no, not the past at all.
What's the first one you've chosen?
It's Catherine Ferrier in the Brahms Rhapsody.
Why do you choose this?
Oh, well, wait till you hear, then you'll know why I've chosen it.
An excerpt from the Brahms Alto Rhapsody with Kathleen Ferrier as soloist. Dame Edith, you are a Londoner.
Oh, yes.
Were you taken to the theatre a lot as a child?
Oh, no, hardly at all.
So it wasn't a childhood ambition to be an actress?
No, no, nothing to do with the theatre at all.
What did you do when you left school?
When I was young, I was apprenticed to millinery.
Did you find that work interesting?
As interesting as any regular job like that could be, but I loved the materials and the colours and that sort of thing.
How did the theatre come into your life?
Well, I had a very dear friend. I still have her. I used to do extremely good productions of Shakespeare plays.
Amateur productions?
Yes, but they were very good. She had a very high standard. And I played for her once or twice, and old William Powell saw me. And he was doing some of his rather specialised productions with some amateur and some professional players. And he asked me to go and play. And I played nothing short, the leading part, Cressida, Troilus and Cressida.
Yeah.
And I was offered a contract by Everden and Eddy from that.
Mm-hmm. And that contract kept you in London for several years, I believe.
Yes, 2 or 3 years. I played mostly in London. Oh, no.
Yes. You toured with Ellen Terrier, didn't
yes,
you?
I did.
Was she a very daunting person?
No,
to work
she
with,
was
or
adorable, but she was a great professional.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, what do you think was the first big opportunity you had? Was it Shaw?
No. I think the first one recorded, as it were, was Millamant in The Way of the World.
Yes, your first big success in restoration.
Yes,
comedy.
Restoration comedy.
And that, quite soon after that, came your first season at the Old Vic.
I think it did. I never can remember, you know. I always have to look up the book and see what I've done.
Well, I've looked it up for you.
Yes.
And in that first season, you played your enchanting Rosalind for the first time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's have your second record now. What have we got next?
I'd like a sonnet spoken by John Gielgud. Shakespeare sonnet.
Which one?
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Why do you choose that?
Oh, why do I choose it? Because it's perfect speech, perfect rhythm. Apart from being a great actor, he's a great speaker, I think. Every time I listen to them, I think how beautifully he speaks English. I do think it's important these days.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
The voice of John Gielgud. We were talking about your first season at the Old Vic. Shortly after that, you had a shot at going into management yourself. That wasn't very successful,
was it? Oh, no, that's horrid. Just experience, though. It didn't do me any harm.
Yes. Well, let's think of the successes. A number of Shaw's heroines you created.
Yes. In all five, you know. Mm. I can't remember them straight away, but they were all.
Yes.
I was the first of those five.
And Florence Nightingale and The Lady with the Lamp?
Yes.
And during the 30s, mainly modern plays. Beverly Nichols' Evensong.
Oh, yes, yes, I enjoyed that.
And the late Christopher Bean.
Yes.
And in 39, the part that perhaps above all you've made your own, Lady Bracknell and the Importance of Being Earnest.
Yes, well, now we draw a curtain over Lady Bracknell. I've had Lady Bracknell in every form. As yes. I've said, it only leaves that I should play her underwater.
Well, then, the war and the theatre in rather a curious state and your first and only appearance in review. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes, you mean diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was just a little gathering of people together, you know, to try and make something that the boys could come in and feel friendly watching a show.
Mm.
We only played in the afternoon.
And then, troupe theatres from Aldershot to the Far East?
Yes, yes, indeed, yes.
Since the war, which plays do you like to remember most? James Bride is Deaf.
I think I do, you know. I had a great love for that play. And I have to say, I also immensely liked The Dark is Light Enough by Christopher Fry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very beautiful play indeed, that.
And The Chalk Garden was a great
Yes, indeed. The Chalk Garden, that came. That played a long time.
Let's have record three now. What next?
Well, I would like to hear some Peter Ustinov. Some of his Grand Prix of Gibraltar, because he's got the most miraculous ear. I've never heard anything to equal Peter's ear for accents and manners. Anyway, we'll hear it, and then we'll see.
Now, here by my side is Roland Thaxter of the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. I hope I've got that right, Roland. Yes, yes, that's absolutely right. He is the ace commentator in Britain, and he will describe the scene as he sees it. Well, of course, Jib, as we know it, is well known to us. And a very colourful sight.
Just two of Peter Ustinov's voices from the Grand Prix of Gibraltar. We haven't talked about the films you've made, Dame Edith. Well, we did mention, I think, briefly, Lady Bracknell, that you played in pretty well all the media.
Yes.
Which others have you enjoyed making most?
Well, the two last. Last year, Tom Jones, and also last year, but time goes so quickly, doesn't it? I was going to say this year, The Chalk Garden,
mm-hmm.
but it was last year. I've enjoyed both those very much.
Yes. When you start to work on a part, what do you work on first? Do you try to envisage the voice, the clothes, the appearance,
no,
the walk?
No, the life. Mm-hmm. The life in the person, the life in the woman.
To what extent do you feel the emotions of the character you're playing? Obviously, you would do it at rehearsal when you're moulding the part. What about the 100th performance?
Well, I try to do it every time. Otherwise, I think if I didn't, I'd be terribly bored. Unless I can, obviously, if I'm not up to the mark sometimes. But I do actually try to really live it every single time. And that makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't be very interested in acting, quite frankly.
What are your plans at the moment? You've just returned from the United States.
Yes.
What are you doing there?
Well, doing readings, recitals with John Gielgud and Margaret Leighton. Mm-hmm. And enjoyed it very much indeed. Now, just at the moment, I'm inclined to want to be free and have a little domestic life and a break.
Have you any ambitions still unfulfilled, any part that you always wanted to play that you haven't yet tackled?
No, it's awful, isn't it? I haven't got any sort of little niggling things inside me. I'm an absolute sort of open book or a white sheet, or whatever you call it, waiting to be written on. It's rather exciting in a way because you never know what's coming around the corner. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's have your fourth record. What now?
Yes, it's Joan Sutherland in Casta Diva.
From Norma?
Yes, from Norma, that's right.
Why?
Oh, why? She sings so marvellously, as well as having this divine voice. When I hear her, I think I can sing. It's a most peculiar effect. She swamps one with lovely sound. I feel if I open my mouth, that sound will come out of me. Couldn't be much more wonderful, could it? Do you know?
Joan Sutherland singing Casta Diva. What are we going to have next?
Well, I thought it'd be a good thing to choose one of Noel Coward's.
How long have you known Noel Coward?
I think he was 17 or about that, and we used to walk home together.
Were you in a play together?
No, I don't think we were in a play together. Well, I can't remember. It's such a long time ago. But we used to walk home together, and I remember once he told me he'd published something. I was overawed. Publishing, you see, that was terribly important and grown up.
Yes, indeed.
But this record, it's a very old one, but I think it's absolutely of its kind, perfect. And I'd like to hear it.
Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the Middle East, and the Japanese don't care. Do Chinese? Wouldn't dare. Do Hindus and Argentines sleep firmly from 12 to 1, but Englishmen detest a siesta. You know, in the Philippines, they have lovely screens to protect you from the glare, and the Malay states their hats like plates, which the Britishers won't wear at 12 noon. The natives swoon, and no further work is done. But mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the Middle East. On... Oh, it's such a surprise for the Eastern eyes to see the...